better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. Hi guys, I'm JT.
Hey, what's up guys? I'm Joey.
And we are talking about the ultimate recovery day, how you can bounce back in 24 hours. So BJJ takes its toll, can leave you very sore, fingers, back, neck, everything.
Life takes a toll.
God, everything takes its toll. And you do need to put some time aside to be able to put in some restoration. So what we thought we'd do today is, let's say you've got a Sunday, you've got nothing on. What is the perfect day? What are the things that you can do on that day so that come Monday you are fresh as a daisy, good to go, ready to get in on that some days pull harder?
And we're talking about – this is a bit of a hypothetical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because – we don't do this necessarily. We might do it in part.
Yeah.
I think you're more proactive on this front.
Sure. So it's more the breakdown. You might not be able to incorporate all of this, but if you take one thing away from this, that's pretty valuable.
Yeah.
Definitely. Sometimes muscle soreness, joint soreness, it can last days. You've given yourself a day off and you're like, right, well, how do I get right? How do I reduce this? Oh, man, my legs are so cooked. My back's so smoked. My forearms are still sore. What is a process I can go through, whether it be like something active, passive? Let's step through that, because both you and I, Joe, we have slightly different approaches, but I think people can take a little bit of something from both.
Yeah, well, mine, I'm usually high as fuck when I'm doing this stuff. If you listen to the last episode, you know what time it is. Shit.
4:20 is the time, am I right?
Yeah. No. First, I'm going to get up at 4:20 in the afternoon, pack a cone. Listen to the last episode for more context on that inside joke. Nah, look, for me, if I can, first thing, I guess I got a Sunday, I'm not getting up early. That's the first thing for
me. Sleep in.
Yeah, sleep in as much as I can. These days it doesn't exist because I got a baby.
Of course.
And he's up when he's up. But typically it'd be like, and I wouldn't sleep in to like 10.
No.
I'd just sleep in to like, I don't know, 8 o'clock.
When you would naturally 7, wake up.
Yeah, exactly.
Without an alarm. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
7:30 or some shit like that, which is, you know, still an hour and a half more than the usual.
Yeah.
But what I've always loved is jumping the ocean.
Oh, nice.
First thing.
Yeah.
It's cold. It's got heaps of salt in there, yep. You know, like the good magnesium salt, right? Sure. You get, it's like an Epsom salt bath. Fuck around in the waves. You're moving your body.
Yep.
But it's invigorating and you're outside and it's like fucking just ticks so many boxes.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that as first thing I can do if I'm like, let's get right today.
Totally. I concur. Tiny little bit of science behind that. When you get in water deeper than 1.2 meters, the barrier is static. You guys can correct me on this. I'm sure you can Google it and prove me wrong. But the pressure within your veins increases. So it increases your vascular return. Your arteries, they pump. They're elastic. But your veins are like big pipes with concrete valves. They don't move. So you can have all this deoxygenated blood in there. Moving your body is what moves that blood back up to the heart to get rid of the toxins and all the other bits and pieces, get it oxygenated. But when you're in water deeper than 1.2 meters, it actually creates more pressure, like a big pressure sock. And that helps improve your circulation. It speeds it up. That's why you might see football players do it. Like a lot of athletes do the kind of ocean session.
Yeah.
And for sure, it's very valuable. Apart from just being healthy, being outside, doing something, unless you're at Bondi Beach and then you just might, you know, swallow some sewage water. But don't worry about that. You know, don't get your head under the water depending on what you're doing. But, yeah, definitely the cold water thing is big. And now there's plenty of people out there who love an ice bath. Now, an ice bath by itself is one thing. The thing that I like to do, and I'm a terrible swimmer. I'm going to put it out there right now, guys. The thing is, as a superhero, you always need a weakness. My weakness is water. I just think –
yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm the worst swimmer. Like, I just keep my feet on land. I'm rubbish. I did swimming lessons as a kid, but I can't swim.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I could maybe if I had to, you know how they have those things where it's like, oh, the boat sank and I just tread water for 48 hours fighting off the sharks.
Yeah.
I would just die.
Yeah, right.
If the boat sank, I'm just one of the first people to go. Like, it's over. But
going down with that barbell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mate, I'm gone. Sink like a rock. What I like to do is do sauna. It doesn't have to be ice bath, maybe pool.
The contrast,
the temperature change is really good for opening things up. I mean, as long as you can put up with the old European men, maybe they're just in a towel.
A little loincloth.
Maybe they just take the towel off.
I've been in this sauna for 47 years, yes. Son. You're going to look at my wrinkly pieces.
Yes, and mound of pubes, grey pubes, good times. But, you know, if you can endure that, or if it's a really nice health facility, they might have like a red, an ultralight.
Infrared sauna.
Infrared sauna. They're pretty cool. And they might have some ice bars. Maybe they don't. But just doing the hot-cold contrast, that is something I like to fuck with on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's primo. I haven't done that for ages, but I do enjoy that. I used to go sometimes when I lived in Bondi down to Icebergs.
Oh, nice.
And they just got the ocean pool and then they got a little sauna there.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that was dope.
And that really does help bring the nervous system down. I find like if I do, say, 4 or 5 of those, then I feel like a nap.
Oh, and yeah.
I'm just like, oh.
You're chilled as fuck.
I'm so chill.
You get in the sauna and you get nice and hot and you're kind of hanging out in there for as long as you can until you're like, this is so fucking uncomfortable.
Yep.
And then you go jump in the cold water.
Yeah.
And that is instantly you're like, oh my God. Like it actually burns at first, doesn't it? Because the water's so cold, your skin's so hot.
Yep.
You know, you got to be careful with it. You're in there, good couple minutes kind of cool down and then you just go back to the sauna and you just repeat.
Yeah. And sometimes a good intermediate step can be a shower. Like a cold water shower versus the cold of the ocean or an ice bath, like as a little intermediate step.
But oh, yeah.
Really, the idea of the hot cold is when you go hot, it's vasodilation. So blood is just charging into the muscle. And when you go cold, you get vasoconstriction. And so what's happening, you've got all this new blood in there. It's pumping around. And it's essentially like a bottle brush. And it's scrubbing off all the stuff in there. This is a mixed metaphor, but stay with me, people. Then you go back hot and you've got vasodilation and that pumps new blood in there and carries that out. So it's like a really good way to rinse everything out, get new blood in there, and it's invigorating as hell. You're like, it's so hot. And then you're like cold. Oh, and your testicles like hide up into your stomach. And I don't know if that happens to you, but where'd my balls go? But the other thing I like to do is I eat massive. I go big. I eat a big meal of whatever I want. Not a cheap meal, but you know, like could be, I don't know, American barbecue. Maybe going to hit some pork ribs. Hopefully that doesn't offend you if you don't eat pork. Just a meal of your choosing.
Is this a brunch type thing?
Yeah, or? It could be a brunch or it could be a lunch, like just something laid back. So an old school thing. My dad's actually a vegetarian. Shout out to my dad. He was a vegetarian before it was cool back in the freaking 50s.
But your game changer, your dad.
But I love him. But he would cook a lamb roast on a Sunday because he's English. That's kind of a thing. It's not a religious thing. It's just something he would do. And there's something kind of harkens back.
As a vegetarian, he'd do that.
As a vegetarian, he's happy for you. Well, not so happy. He would happily prepare meat for someone else to eat.
Oh, wow.
He wouldn't touch it himself.
Yeah, okay.
He was cool with that.
Well, some kind of abstinence, some kind of power play going on there?
No. He would never push
I'm not so weak that I need to eat that shit. You eat that shit, enjoy
maybe,
it.
Maybe quietly. No. Yeah. No, he would never, because he's like, this is my choice. Right. He's not one of those vegetarians who really pushes it on people.
Yeah.
But he has his reasons. And so I, you know, that Sunday roast, maybe a pub meal, like something which I'm not thinking. The ability to be able to relax and enjoy is a key part for me in the recovery process.
Yeah.
Whether that's like burgers or about the macros. I'm just doing it. I'm taking a moment to enjoy it and it doesn't matter about anything else. I think that is more the mental shift for me in terms of the nutrition piece on a Sunday.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm probably a fan of like a big kind of cafe breakfast type deal.
Mm.
Whatever the fuck's going on. Yeah, give me the chorizo. Give me the avocado.
Load it up.
Yeah, we got eggs on there. You know, maybe I'll have a couple of coffees.
Eat to win.
It is a real celebration of eat to win on this day.
Yes, indeed.
But it's usually, strangely enough for me, I usually eat less on weekends than I do during the week.
How interesting.
Just because I don't have my regular schedule.
Right.
Less of a routine.
Right.
And so often it ends up being kind of a brunch and then it ends up being a dinner.
Right.
So, you know. When it comes to those meals, I'm like, well, let's go big.
Cool.
Because we're getting in less food today.
That's cool. But you also, even though this might not be the weekend I'm aware that at least one day a week you just do some mobility, right? You just stretch. You usually put time aside to just do, like, is it Fridays or? It's usually one day a week where you allocate time to just focus on doing your flexibility, mobility.
Yeah, at the moment I'm trying to do 2 to 3 just dedicated mobility sessions a week.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. And they're like 30 minutes.
Okay.
But those, interestingly, on my, like on say this kind of hypothetical recovery day, I'm not really doing it on that day.
Okay.
And it's because the mobility stuff that I'm doing, which is a lot of stuff that we're peddling in the Bulletproof program and in standards and whatnot, it's hard work.
Mm.
You know, it's like, it's work. Like it'll leave you a bit sore. Like your hammies are a bit jacked.
Mm.
You know, you're like, oh shit, I was working the hammies yesterday.
Chefs
and curls, Cossacks, whatever. So I tend to, when it comes to this day, I don't really do shit.
Leave it alone.
I get physical in terms of like a body bash, right? Yeah. Jumping in the waves, swimming in the ocean, you know, or whatever else I'm doing, right? Like we go for big walks all the time because we've got the dogs and the kids.
Yep.
So natural fucking easy one. You're like, let's go to the park.
Yep.
Kids can run around, dogs can run around. It's a daily feature.
Sure.
So on the weekend, it's like, oh, we'll go to a park. You know, we'll go to like a special park. Where it's like, oh, it's a little bit further away. It's a little bit harder to access, but it's, you know, we can hang out there for a while, take a soccer ball, maybe take the rings, whatever. But I'll find that there'll be naturally built-in activity, whether it's kicking the ball around for a bit or it's I'm playing with Hattie and we're doing some acro shit.
Yeah.
You know, there's movement involved. Yeah. But like with you where you're like, I'm not focused on the nourishment of what I'm eating. I'm just focused on enjoying what I'm eating on that day.
Yeah.
I'm the same with movement.
Right.
I stay less structured and it's just, let's just move a bit.
Yeah.
By you?
Oh, I swap out. Like I'll usually a long walk or maybe even a bike ride. Ola likes a bike ride. I'm anti-bike ride, but in the name of my relationship, I'll get on the bike. Mm. I don't hate it, but for various reasons, I'm not big on the bikes. But for example, like when we had lockdown, we would, just to mix it up, we'd ride to Centennial Park and ride around. And so there's an element of just like looking at what's going on in the world. It's kind of that little going for a bit of a mission.
Yeah.
So you cover far more distance on the bike in an hour or 2 hours. And that's stimulating in itself, being in nature. So this is something I got from one of the famous coaches. I don't know. They're talking about on the weekend, you want to get your eyes on green or your eyes on blue.
Right.
So you either want to get in the ocean or get out in nature. So typically on the weekend, I go up to the Blue Mountains, visit my parents. Shout out to my mum as well, not only my dad. But the Blue Mountains, I just growing up there, probably took it for granted. But if I go up there on a Saturday, stay out there Saturday night, have dinner with my parents, on a Sunday, I will walk for an hour, maybe a bit more, maybe listen to a podcast, maybe music, and just take in the bush and, you know, not go for a hike, but just walk around my neighborhood and just process that element of being in the natural environment because we live in the city.
Yeah.
And it's been shown to be very beneficial to reduce blood pressure, just improve a lot of aspects of health to be walking around in a natural environment as opposed to, say, just jogging around a block.
Yeah.
Or something like
sitting
that.
Or jogging on a treadmill.
Yeah. I hate treadmills, guys. Like, just honestly, if there's anything that's more of an epitome of the corporate rat race, which is you work as hard as you can, you give your gut, you give it everything, you're stuck on the spot. And when you get off, what difference does it make? Like other than your sweat and toil.
Yeah.
There's nothing less, for me, less satisfying than jogging on a treadmill. Yeah.
Yeah, there's another huge benefit to that being outdoors piece. I've heard our eyes were designed to focus at multiple different lengths.
Right.
Within our environment, I would look at this tree, I would look into the distance, the horizon. I'd be constantly
changing. Like,
yeah. Because you think of where we evolved, that's what the environment was, right?
Mm.
You're looking at the sky, you're looking at things flying, things moving, versus now, the majority of the time, we're looking at things that are about half a meter in front of us. Even talking to a colleague, talking to you now, you're like half a meter in front of me.
Just there.
You know, and that's really where our life happens now. So apparently there's a lot of benefit, even just in the eyes, to getting out into nature because all of a sudden you start to get this multiple distances or this varying of distances rather.
Yeah, that's
actually something I've picked up on recovery, well, circadian rhythm from your boy Huberman.
Of course.
Which I really like, Huberman podcast, I'm sure listening to this you might have checked him out. He's got a lot of really good stuff on just like biology. But he talks about getting the morning light
Yep.
And the evening light, when the sun is coming up, when the sun is going down.
Regulate your melatonin.
Yeah, and I found that to be really good, like just irrespective of if it's my ideal recovery day or not, if I can just get some natural light in the morning and then get some natural light in the evening as the sun is setting, I like that. Feels good.
Yeah, nice.
Versus a day where like maybe I've just been inside all morning on the computer or something, and then I come outside and it's like lunchtime or – you know, and you're like, you're seeing the sun up high for the first time.
Mm.
I feel like there's something gained from getting that early exposure.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. I mean, I try and do it every day. But
You're a fan of the big walk, right?
Yeah, the big walk.
A lot of morning walks?
Yeah, morning walks is what it's all about. If I'm not teaching jiu-jitsu early that morning, the first thing I do other than I get up, I drink water, I do like 10 minutes of mobility just to just feel what my body's doing that day, just to take like stock. And then usually look at like, say tomorrow, that's what I'll do. And then I'll walk for an hour to 2 hours. And it's strange. Maybe it's like a bit of a throwback to our ancestors. I like to like walk around the neighborhood and I like to see what the world is like when there's not many humans around. When I was a teenager, it was like one of my favorite things when we do graffiti on our way back after a mission. Maybe it's 4 a.m. There's no one. There's absolutely no one. And some people say it's eerie. I love it. I think it's great. Like it's a different environment with all this infrastructure and everything with no humans around. There's a beauty to it. But then the early morning walk, there are some people out, but you're watching the world wake up. So if you're walking from like say 5 a.m. to 7, you kind of, and even yourself, like I can't say I'm very, very functional at that time. I'm kind of waking up as I go, but you're taking it in and then you get home at 7 o'clock. You actually feel like you've done something. There's a lot of mental processing that goes on. So I'm definitely calmer when I get to do that. But I think apart from walking as just a health thing because we don't do it enough, I do like to do a stretch session. For those of you out there who like yoga, I do like to just do an hour of sit on the living room floor and just stretch my calves, stretch my shoulders, go through, just work out what's kinked. You know, oh, neck's pretty jacked. All right, do some neck work. So I'll usually hoodie up, track pants. I actually want to sweat a little bit when I do it. So I get to the end of it, I feel like I'm in tune with my body. Mm. And even if I wasn't able to get everything right, my awareness has increased. Because I think so much of what we do week in, week out is to distract ourselves from that stuff. Like, man, my ankle hurts. Or, fuck, that my back is still sore. And just do that uncomfortable stuff so that you are a step away from injury and also just a little bit more in tune with yourself.
Yeah, it's a good chance to check in.
Mm.
And I think, yeah, like to your point there, it's easy to sort of just skip over that because you might be feeling something, but then you're like, I got to jump on the mats, time to train. And then the adrenaline's up and you've forgotten about how you feel.
Yes.
So, it's good to just sit in that for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I've always aspired to be a little bit more like that with my stretching and stuff, but it just doesn't work out for me that way. And now with a little one, I'm just like, you know what? It works better for me just to have structured, and we've spoken about it before, but structured times during the week where I get it done, just so I get it done.
Yes.
I am typically quite bad at self-care. Like, you know, confessing I've always been, I think I've been quite lucky on the mobility side of things.
Your mobility overall is very good.
Yeah, I naturally move quite well. Hips, back. So it's like I haven't – certain aspects of it I've spent quite a lot of time on, but generally speaking, most of it – a lot of it I just had. So, whereas I know folks who really struggle with it, who have to be hyper-disciplined around it in order to be at the same place.
Yeah.
And, hey, fucking bad luck, son.
Good luck to
you. What do you want me to tell you?
Look, it's unfair, right? Like I – spent so much of my primitive years, still pretty primitive. No, like even though at the time I was hating my mum for it, she put me in ballet when I'm 5. That's awesome. Definitely not a way to socially adjust your son, especially if he's already nerdy and awkward. And then she's like, all right, now gymnastics. Like even though at the time
– she was building a GSP.
She was building a Broadway dancer. But when I finally did come to Taekwondo, I had a front and middle split that was just money. So like, shit, the kid's flexible. We can work with that.
That's cool.
And I was very lucky to have that as my foundation. Even though my cardio was terrible and I wasn't strong, are very flexible. And I've been able to retain the majority of that through my life. And doing traditional martial arts, it's like you do your splits. Now you stand up. You do your dynamic leg raises. You know, like this is a thing since I was very young. So it's very much ingrained in me. Whereas I feel like most people are coming to this like later in life, like, man, I never stretched. And interestingly enough, like when you actually do, like shout out Keller Loxodi.
What's up, Kel?
Kel, savage man. But, you know, if you want to make that guy hurt, don't grapple him. Make him stretch his calves. You know, like if you want to see him tap, stretch his hamstrings. The amazing thing is we would just do some very, like, you know, basic stretches. And afterwards he's like, bro, I feel like I'm high. Like I'm in a different dimension, man. Like he gets really wide-eyed and he's just like, whoa. Oh, he's on another planet afterwards. He feels, because it's a huge relief to release this tension. And it's not that suddenly he's Mr. Flexible, but he's gained some relief. And this actually just makes him feel better in his body. He's so used to feeling tight, sore, and messed up.
Yeah.
And I think allocating time at least once a week is really good to be able to counteract all these ills we do.
So let's continue on then from like the, say you've done whatever that is, the ocean swim piece or the contrast bars, and then you've had a big meal, that type of thing. If I'm looking at like ideal kind of setup for me, I've got like, sorry, it's the second half of the day, lunchtime onwards. Yep. Really ideal world would be to get some kind of hands on me, some kind of manual treatment.
Massage, yeah.
Massage or active release or, you know, even a good chiro or whatever. Yep. But just, you know what, I used to go to a guy, shout out to Bruce Scott, the body magician.
Oh, okay.
He uses a bunch of things in his treatment, but he would basically do partner acro with you.
Oh, wow.
To relax you.
Oh, wow.
And he would start by like, hey, man, yep, just like he'd be lying down on his back and he's got like this little mat in his room and then he'd be like, yep, just lean into this, place his feet on your hips, and then he'd hoist you off the ground. And then he'd just start like ragdolling you while you're suspended. And I would wake up. He does that for about 20 minutes. Whoa. And I'd fall asleep about 5 minutes in.
Oh, wow.
And he's just like hanging you off his legs and stretching you out. And you're just like,
whoa.
Like, and then you wake up. He's landed you. He's laid you on your back. And then he's like sitting off to the other side of the room just doing a bit of breath work. And you'd like naturally come to. And he'd be like, how was that, man? And you'd be like, holy fucking shit.
Amazing.
That was amazing. That was exceptional.
Yeah.
But even if it's just a massage, you know, it's like that, like manual therapy is, that's a game changer for me.
There's a lot to be said for it. And look, I think more recently when I've been advising people go see a physio, a lot more physios are not doing manual therapy. One, it's hard work. And two, there was a bunch of papers released not that long ago saying, oh, massage doesn't work scientifically, the data. But that's bullshit. Like placebo effect is powerful. And for you to be able to lie still and actually relax and release tension in your body, that's very hard to do by yourself. But when you know, you've got someone that you trust and they know what they're doing and they're working on you, the only thing you can do, even if it's really uncomfortable with a massage or any kind of a treatment, is you've got to kind of give up to it. You've got to relax. Like I was talking to someone who's a surfer, I was talking to Rob Bates, and he's talking about getting held down by a wave. And he's saying you can't fight it. Like if you're getting held down, like you can't fight Mother Nature, you'll drown. You actually have to relax and kind of go with it and trust that by relaxing you won't use up all your oxygen and then you'll find an opportunity to be able to pop out. And I feel that, well, like I one time went to this Thai massage joint. You know, I was very clear from the outset, I want a sports massage. I'm here to get bashed.
Like, yeah, sport.
Sport. Out came possibly one of the probably meanest looking older Thai ladies I ever seen. It wasn't like a real young, happy, like it was just like, get in room type. Oof. Bro, she was giving me the down elbows. She was like pulling my arms back. Like she was giving me the ong back Muay Thai massage.
Tony Jaa special.
Bro, the other side of it. She was like, she's like, let me know if too hard. And I was like, yeah. She's like, no, keep going. I can't tap. You've got both my arms.
I love that she's got a Russian accent this time.
Is that Russian? I don't know how to do a Thai accent. I'm very sorry. I apologize.
No, it's better to not even fuck with it.
I should have just, I apologize if you've taken offense to that. No, honestly, I couldn't
Yeah, that I mean, that's fucking great, right?
Yeah, and at the end of it, I felt a bit bashed, but I was definitely, I'd been meat tenderized. The tension was gone.
And I got to say, like I think physios are awesome. And when you have like a mechanical issue, they're the ones that are going to help you fix it.
Yeah.
But for this day, I don't want a diagnosis.
Doesn't want to be clinical.
I want hands on me.
Yeah.
You know, even if it was like me said, like we're sitting on the couch and she just like tickles my feet for a bit. Like that's recovery.
It helps you too.
Right there, you know, yeah, yeah. You can just pat my head for a minute. Just pat my head. Yeah. You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
And I think that there's a place for that. Like say, you know, there's treatments like you know, like with Jared that used to work here at the gym. He give you like it's a strong session. It's very active. You're like, he'd be like, okay, put your arm here and then I'm going to do this and I want you to pull your arm down and, you know, you're in it. You're participating.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, there's like a wellness place that I go to sometimes. Sure. They got the incense. They got the music. They're like, how are you today? Right. You know, you go in, it's like they got the little Thai flute, you know, going on, the kickboxer flute. And I'm like, that's what I want today. That's my recovery, you know?
Yeah, that can work. I mean, that can work. And knowing what's right for you. So we're giving you all these suggestions, right, guys? So, you know, obviously what works for Joe, what works for me, you have to play with this a little bit to find your sweet spot. You might try one of these things and be like, oh, that didn't vibe. And you do something else, you're like, that's me right there. We're just trying to steer you on the path towards spending some time to look after your body. I'm going to put something out there right now, which is just a little bit to the side, which might sound not silly, but it's like an element of play. So sometimes Ola and I will go bouldering. Now, bouldering is not good for recovery, just putting it out there. If there's anything you could do to tear the skin on your hands, jack up your forearms, and like it's
extra grip training.
Yeah, just like overload. But it's a playful environment. There's so many weird and wonderful people at bouldering. You're looking at someone like, bro, you are not in shape. Dude's in jeans. He's wearing a Harley Davidson shirt. He's wearing a trucker hat. He's got like a 90s skateboarder chain connected to his wallet.
Sick.
Dude just completed the hardest. He's like he's an assassin.
Yeah, right.
Of bouldering. He's just going boop, 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 boop. And you're like, oh my God, this guy's really good. And then you see some real fit dude come in, like looking pretty jacked. And then dude's like, trying to do it in sneakers. He hasn't even got rock climbing shoes on. He's terrible. Can't even complete the easiest problem. You're like, oh, this is a different space. And it's very playful. They got a slack line there. You know, like I think this idea of play is really – and it's really well incorporated here at Jungle Brothers. Like there's play in the warm-up and stuff like that. Doing something for fun is a recovery tool for your brain.
Absolutely.
So – that's why I like to do stuff I'm not necessarily good at, nothing I can compete at. Like, you know, it's very hard for me to be able to disengage with the I'm the best here or I want to be the second best or I'm competing with you. Like that's such a bad habit. It's just an ingrained habit. So in the name of play, I like to do things that I suck at because there's no way I can win.
Yeah.
And then it's just the enjoyment of messing around.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I also think that's really important. And, you know, you could think like, oh, I'll get together, you know, meet up with the guys at the academy or do some drilling. Sure. It's like, yeah, that's good. Like that's a great thing to do and that's maybe more playful than how you might approach it earlier other times in the week. But it's the same environment. It's the same setting. You have these expectations on yourself. You have dynamics in that relationship versus you going to the rock climbing gym. It's like you got none of that.
No.
And you're like, oh, just fucking around and doing the thing and having a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I used to do, I got to thank Rogan for this one. I used to do float tanks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I probably did it, I don't know, 10 times. I bought a 10-pack at a place up in Bondi Junction.
Yeah.
And I used to go there and I got to say, it was fucking awesome.
Oh, nice.
I really wish I could, it's something I've wanted to incorporate more of.
Right.
It's just never been particularly convenient.
Yes.
But
I've never done float tanks in my life.
Yeah, okay.
Interesting.
Man, I mean, especially like if you meditate. I think it's just because I'm not fantastic in meditation. I don't practice it a lot.
Yeah.
But I think if you have that and then you go to the float tank and then you can do some med in there, that's fucking powerful.
Right.
It's amazing. You're just in this room. It's completely black. It's completely quiet. You know, like I would invariably fall asleep.
Right.
You know, but I know friends. I remember a guy at movement camp has a float tank, likes to microdose.
Oh, true.
And then jump into the float tank for a couple of hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just going on a journey.
Yep. And just like, oh, man, it's the best. best. And I'm like, damn, that would be cool. I was like, we're in Thailand. He's like, you want a microdose today? I was like, no, bro. No. But yeah, I did really like that. And I think it's, you know, kind of, if you look at a lot of these recovery like sort of modes, they're just ways to like shortcut yourself towards deep relaxation.
Yep.
And you can feel the same as you do coming out of a float tank as you do coming out of a really good massage.
Yes.
Like that's the like, or the contrast bath where you're like, man, I just want to go take a nap.
Go have a
like,
nap.
Yeah, I don't want to look at my phone.
No.
Because you often feel that in that friction of you're deeply relaxed and you're like, I don't want to engage with technology because I know it's going to bring me out of this.
Bring you out, yeah.
But that's a great sign that you're like, you've reached nirvana.
Yeah.
You know you're there.
That blissful state. It's like, yeah, it'll kill your high.
Yeah.
It'll sober you. You just want to stay in that.
Yeah, it's like a smack in the face.
Yeah. Having a break, not entirely, but yeah, maybe at least half the day from technology, because this is a source of stress. If we think of recovery as the opposite of stress, like exercise is a type of stress, work is a type of stress, blah, blah, blah. But you constantly being fed information is a type of stress. It's low-level stress. So if you can take 6-8 hours and not look at your phone and just be more present, that is a relief to your brain. So jiu-jitsu is like an acute version of that for your brain in terms of enforced mindfulness. It's physically stressful, but you get this thing where you're not thinking about your bills, you're not thinking about your mortgage, you're not thinking about work, anything. You're just focused on don't get choked or I have to choke this guy. And just that singular thought is really good. And that's often why we feel at the end of a jiu-jitsu session like, oh man, I feel really good now.
Mm.
You know, it's like a hot shower for the brain, just washes it off.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, I'm going to say at the end of a day, now it's funny that this is now a luxury, a bath, a hot bath. End of the day, man.
Some Epsom salts in there.
Bruh. That gets me chilled. I'm just like, ugh. I melt. I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to bed now. So at the end of my recovery day, as much as you might do cold water in the morning or ocean or whatever it is, to just sit in a bath, just chill, just breathe, steam, that's amazing. And the other thing on that as to why that really works is as soon as you get out of the bath, because it's going to elevate your body temperature super high, your body works really hard to cool you down. And it's that contrast of cooling down which helps you get into a deeper sleep.
Yes.
If you don't have like a chili pad or a 8 Sleep or any kind of cool technology like that, it's the cooling down effect of the post-hot bath which is very good for the sleep.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the bath.
Yeah.
Particularly this time of year here in Australia, we're in the East Coast where it's coming, it's colder now.
It's getting cooler.
Man, it's dark, it's cold at night, hot bath. Oof. Deluxe.
So good.
I mean, if we're talking hypothetically, I'm not doing that same day that I'm saunering.
No.
If I've sauna, because you know, it's like drawing it out of you.
Double up.
But yeah, like as a quick option, as something that's available, man, hot bath. And I think like as something that's available on the start of the day, for me every morning, cold shower.
Cold shower. It's cold to start, warm to finish.
I just go cold all the way.
Well, after the bath, is that what you're saying?
No. In the morning, I'm straight into a cold shower. Sorry. Yeah, you mean start the day, finish
start the day.
Day
cold, finish the day warm.
Yes. I thought you meant like finish the –
No.
Turn the hot on at some point.
No.
Yeah, no, totally, yeah.
No, that's it, guys. So I think whatever is accessible to you – because here's the thing. It's kind of funny. I live in an apartment. We don't have a bath. Like there's a bath at my parents' house. If I want to have a bath, I'll have to have it there, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of houses built without a bath now. Like, you know, depending on where you live in the world, we're trying to save space. But there is something to it. And, you know, humans have been doing it for thousands of years. And you go back to Roman times, the bathhouse was like a social place, but it was a way for you to kind of soothe what ails you.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. We need that soothe, that balm.
Keep your eye out for the bulletproof for BJJ bathhouse opening soon.
It'll be a good thing.
How sick would that be? If you want help with your training, if you're listening to this and you're new to the game or you're new to bulletproof for BJJ and you're like, man, you guys sound like you know some shit and I would like to get stronger and I would like to become more flexible so that I could perform like a savage on the mats. We have a program that'll help you do that. It's got multiple different choices that you can follow different journeys. We've got kettlebell-focused programs, gym-focused, home programs, mobility, all the stuff you need to be a stronger, more mobile jiu-jitsu player. You can find it at bulletproof.bjj.com. You can sign up for a free trial. You get 1 week. You can sample it all. And if you use the code BJJPODCAST, you will get 20% off your subscription. Hope to see you on the inside. Thank you, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Thank you, Joe.